Good afternoon and welcome everyone to the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting today on Monday, April 15th, 2024. As you just heard, this meeting is being recorded and the meeting audio will be placed on our website, which is WMATA.com. I would like to share a few helpful tips for people who are joining through phone calls. You can press star six to unmute yourself. If you would like to make comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands by pressing star nine. Everyone who is on the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself. And if you would click on the raise hand icon, that will raise and or lower your virtual hands. If you are able to use these tools, it will be helpful because then you will know if anybody is trying to make comments and we can have one speaker at a time. At this point, everyone should be on mute. I would request everyone to please stay on mute because it helps us eliminate any external noise. When people make comments, then please unmute yourself and then mute yourselves again. Just a reminder that we do have two American Sign Language interpreters with us on this meeting. Therefore, when speaking, please state your name first and then your comments because this helps the speaker, the interpreters, and doing their job well. It also helps everyone who is on the phone calls, and when people listen to the meeting audios, it also helps them. We also request people to describe themselves briefly when initially speaking. For instance, I'm a female, Asian Indian, I wear reading glasses, and have long dark hair. Chair Samford, if you concur, I can go ahead and read the agenda out loud and then take the committee members' roll call.
Please do so.
Thank you. Before I start reading the agenda, I would share my screen. So if you would bear with me for a quick moment. And if someone could confirm that my screen is visible, I would appreciate that.
I can see it.
Great. Thank you. So after I finish reading the agenda, we will go through the roll call of the AAC members. Afterwards, Chair Samford will go through the motion of approving today's meeting agenda and last month's meeting minutes. At 4:10, we will have reports, including commendations, customer service, and outreach, if any. At 4:15, we will have Michael Wilson Award, as well as the AAC's Metro Access Safety Award. At 4:20, we will have the topic AAC bylaws. At 5:35, we will have public comments. And the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 6 p.m. I'm going to stop sharing my screen. And we will go through the AAC members' roll call. So please confirm your presence when I call out your name. Azhar Atura. Donis Bush. Tino Calabia. Tino Calabia informed that he might be late for a few minutes today. Vanessa Coles.
Present.
Thank you. Rico Dancy.
Here.
Thank you. Tuan Farmer. Debbie Fisher. Marcy Goldstein.
Here.
Thank you. Timothy Howard. Steve Kaffin.
Present.
Thank you. Thomas Mangrum. Philippa Mazzell. Sandy Nuzzo.
Present.
Thank you. Phil Posner. Doris Ray. Denise Rush. Paul Samelford.
Present.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan.
Here.
Thank you. Kelly
Excuse
Sackler.
Ms. Rush is here.
Okay,
I'm
thank
sorry.
You. No problem. Kelly Simona and Philip Weintraub. Okay, that concludes the roster for today's meeting. Chair Samelford, at this point, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
All right, so next we're going to review and approve or review and approval of the meeting agenda. Today's agenda, as you well know, as I mentioned at the last AAC meeting, that we would need to get through as much as this bylaws as much as possible through this meeting, because probably by next meeting it will be dominated with news about because the board hasn't made a decision yet, but I'm sure they will be making it towards the end of this month as to how Metroxas service looks like. And I expect that to be the main topic of the next meeting. Are there any additions or changes to this agenda that is already fully loaded? Hearing.
Move to accept the agenda as submitted.
All right. All those, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Nays, abstentions, the motion carries. Prior meeting minutes, are there for the month of, wait, we're in the month of April already. So for the month of March, are there any changes, additions, mm-hmm. suggestions to the March meeting minutes?
And this is Sandy. Yes, there's a change. I had a brain freeze and I said Sarah Meyer, when I should have said Maggie Butler. It's on the last page, Anu. It's just my goof.
Okay, no problem. We'll make the update and post the updated version. Thank you, Sandy.
So hearing that from Sandy, is there anyone else? If not, I would like to put forth this agenda to move with the amendments per Sandy that Anu will incorporate.
Second.
All right, all those, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Nays, abstentions. The motion carries for this approved, but with the amendments that were suggested by Sandy. Next, Ms. Anderson, Accommodations, Customer Service, and Outreach. Ms. Anderson, you on?
Thank you, Chair Semaphore. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Allison Anderson. I am an African American female, middle aged, with twists in my hair today, as well as a very colorful teal shirt with a black sweater. It is my pleasure to introduce Mr. Dolan Chittums with MTM to provide the public comment from our last session. Dolan?
Good afternoon. My name is Dolan Chittums from MTM. African-American male, glasses, and long locks. So during the AAC meeting held on March 4th, 2024, there were two outstanding public comments that required further investigation. The first comment was regarding the issue with an Uber trip for a customer. The investigation revealed that the Uber driver did not show up initially, and there were connection issues on the second call made to the OCC. However, Where's My Ride supervisor resolved the issue and the customer was transported. Additionally, the customer was made aware that Metro Access provides a text feature for customers to check ride status. The second public comment was regarding the wait time for customers when calling Where's My Ride, and the customer requested that Metro Access share statistics on response times. To address the concern, the response time information Where's My Ride is included in the monthly Metro Access Subcommittee performance report. During the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting on March 18th, 2024, there were no outstanding public comments to be addressed. Now moving on to the accommodations. During the month of March, Metro Access received a total of 446 accommodations. The recipients were First Transit with 82, Transdev 94, MV 103, Challenger 63, Next Maryland and VA with 90, MTM 0, Eligibility 1, and abilities ride with 8. And this concludes my report.
Thank you, Mr. Chittums. Also, I'd like to report on the outreach front. Our own Mr. Blake attended the Sligo Creek chapter of the National Federation of the Blind, their meeting this past Saturday. Just wanted to make the AAC aware of that particular outreach event on behalf of Mr. Blake. So with that, we can go right into our awards this afternoon. Is that all right, Mr. Somerfort?
Please do, Ms. Anderson.
All right, thank you. So we had an award from our March meeting, the AAC Metro Access Safety Award, that the committee was so kind as to allow us to have that presentation this meeting because the recipient could not make the award presentation in March. So at this time, I'd like to present Mr. Will Ford. He is the general manager with our Central Avenue base to present the recipient of the March AAC Metro Access Safety Award. Mr. Ford?
Yes, thank you, Allison. Like she said, my name is Will Ford. I'm the general manager here at First Transit Capitol Heights. African-American male, low haircut. But like I said, thanks again. Mr. Berry is actually attending the call today. But our recipient is Dennis Berry. He's been with the company a little over 4 years and a model employee. Allison, I know you've met him before in the local safety committee meeting. He's, you know, always on time. He's efficient in what he does. He's a great de-escalator when it comes to engagement with the customers and with the location staff here. So, Mr. Berry, I just want to tell you from the company standpoint, we tip our hat off to you. You are a model employee, and you are what we stand for as a company. So thanks again. I'm not sure if he has anything to say, but he is available to speak as well.
Thank you, Mr. Ford. I'm a African-American male, bald head, red shirt, beard. First of all, I want to give an honor to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because without him, I wouldn't be who I am today. And I appreciate working with First Transit, working with Mr. Ford. You know, it's just an honor to be working for First Transit right now. That's all I can say.
All right. Thank you so much, Mr. Ford, and congratulations to you, Mr. Berry. It was an honor meeting you at the last local safety committee meeting, so I'm sure we'll see each other throughout. With that, I'd like to now present Ms. Stacy Jackson. She is with Challenger Transportation to award the April recipient of the Michael Wilson Award. And then directly after Stacy, we will have Ms. Gina Fletcher, who is the safety and training manager with Challenger, to present the AAC Metro Access Safety Award. So Stacy, take it away.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Stacy Jackson, and I am the one of the operation managers at Challenger Transportation. I am an African-American female, young at age, young at heart, and with curly hair. So it is my pleasure, as always, to present this award. Today, we have Mr. Elias Jamal. He officially began working at Metro Access September of 2018. Jamal, as we all know him, is a ball of energy. He walks in the building and he just is on fire as soon as he walks in. When Jamal arrives to work, he has high energy that is like literally contagious. Jamal was born in East Africa, Ethiopia. He came to the United States 20 years ago. He went to school here. He started working in the customer service industry here. Prior to working for Metro Access, Access, he actually started getting some of his customer service skills from working at the Hilton Hotels. In his spare time, he enjoys watching soccer and basketball at family gatherings with his family. One of many of Jamal's commendations says, he is a wonderful driver. He helped her with her bags. He was patient and very informative about the commute. She says that the driver treated all his customers with care and concern. This commendation, along with many others, is the reason why Jamal has been selected to be the recipient of the Michael Wilson Award. Jamal goes above and beyond to assure our customers have an extraordinary experience. Thank you so much, Jamal, for your continued commitment to provide outstanding customer service to our customers. And at this time, Jamal, if you can come off of mute, if you'd like to say anything, now's your time. I think he's one of the phone. He may not know how to come off of mute with the phone. So we would just like to say thank you, Jamal, for all of your hard work.
Okay, and this is Anu, just as a reminder, if you would like to, Jamal, if you'd like to unmute, you can press star six.
All right, I think, Jamal, are you there? Okay, we're gonna go on ahead to Ms. Fletcher. To present the AAC Metro Access Safety Award. Gina?
Good evening. My name is Gina Fletcher. I'm the Safety and Training Manager again for Challenger Transportation. I'm a Caucasian female with short brown hair. My award, or the AAC Award for Safety, goes to Mr. Tyler Delamos. He officially began working for our company in December of 2019. He's been a great asset. He's always asking questions to further knowledge his information in the safety department. And when he's even out on route, he'll call in and ask questions to assure the customer's safety. He currently lives in Gaithersburg with his wife and his three young children. And in his spare time, he just enjoys spending time with his young family. And prior to working for Metro Access, Tyler worked with Road Traffic Control for 9 years. And in this field, just being in this field in general and in his tenure in Metro Access, it has allowed him to recognize traffic signs and patterns ahead of time. Tyler believes driving for Metro Access has helped him to be a safer driver, not just for the company, as well as for his family and others. He's expressed how working with Metro Access has enhanced his knowledge on how to respect and treat people with disabilities. Currently, Tyler has had no preventable incidents. He is not on drive cam in any way, shape, or form. And this is the reason why Tyler was selected to receive the AAC Safety Award, as he is a true safety star. Thank you, Tyler, for your service and commitment to safety. If you'd like to say anything, please do so at this time.
Hello, my name is Tyler Delamos. My hair, dreadlocks, African-American / West Indy. I just want to say thank you, everybody, the Metro Access Association. And yeah, basically pretty much safety is the main thing. And I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. So again, thank you and congratulations to both Tyler and Jamal for your dedication and your commitment to make Metro Access the best it can be through your actions. So again, thank you very much. And I'll turn it back to you, Chair.
Thank you so much for the award recipients. You truly are outstanding examples of the epitome of service for our customers. And we laud you for what you do, and as you and other past and future drivers do what you do. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We appreciate it. And management staff for awarding those who so certainly deserve it. So next, today, we are going to, since there is no new information about what's going on, and we do need to work on bylaws, we'll be working on getting through those draft bylaws today for the AAC, so we can have it ready for review by the WMATA attorney and the board of directors. So I will, can I share my screen anew?
Yes, 1 second, the chair's on the board.
All right.
Okay, if you would try, you should be able to share your screen now.
All right. Should, what we need to have, that can go, that would go here, and now share. So from the AAC meeting, we last stopped. We already went through the section last about Article 4, termination of membership. So now we are up to Article 5, officers. And what I'll do is I'll read through the section and then we'll go through it with comments and changes. So for Article 5, officers, A is chair. The membership of the AAC will biennially, and the new language to be added in parentheses is every 2 years, to further explain that, elect a chair from its membership. The AAC chair will develop agendas, which is the change language word, lead meetings and keep order, present reports to the WMATA Board of Directors, and prepare and sign all letters, reports, and other communications of the AAC. The next inserted new language will be, the chair of the AAC will serve on the Writers Advisory Committee, in parentheses RAC, or designate someone from the AAC to fulfill that role. The designee of the AAC to the RAC will advise the RAC on AAC proceedings and relevant disability issues that can affect RAC. The RAC representative from the AAC may not serve as a RAC officer. B, vice chairs. The membership of the AAC shall biennially, and the new language in parentheses in blue here is every 2 years that we suggested, elect a first vice chair and a second vice chair from its membership. In the absence or inability of the chair to serve, for the purposes of succession, the individual next in line shall, and with new words, act as, be the first vice chair. The individual shall have all the powers and shall perform all of the duties of the chair in an acting capacity. C, chairs and vice chairs. Number one, terms of office. The officers of the AAC shall serve for a 2 year term. No person shall serve as chair or vice chair for more than three, with the new words here in blue to insert, consecutive two-year terms, except under the circumstances described in Article 5, Section C, failure to elect. Number two, under C, vacancy. A vacancy is any office shall be filled by a special election held by the AAC at the next regularly scheduled meeting following the announcement of the vacancy and shall be for the unexpired term. Three, temporary vacancies. If the chair and all vice chairs of the AAC and subcommittees are absent from any meeting and are unable to act, the meeting shall be called to order by staff. The staff shall immediately call for the election of a temporary presiding officer. And then we as a committee had the question about what in blue to figure out, what about subcommittee meetings? Does this apply to subcommittee meetings also? Number four, elections. Elections of officers shall occur in, with the new word to be inserted, the first quarter, which is the new word, quarter, of the fiscal year. A vice chair can be elevated to chair of the AAC or its subcommittees until an election can be held for the position, generally by the next main AAC meeting. An affirmative vote of 2/3 of the members present is required to postpone an election. Number five, failure to elect. If an AAC, if the AAC fails to elect a chair or vice chair, the existing chair or vice chair shall continue to serve until successors are elected. Six, eligibility. All officers shall be chosen based on the most capable member, independent of disability or jurisdiction. D, staff support, the last section part of this. The Department of Access Services and the Office of the Board Secretary will designate staff persons to act as AAC liaison to prepare meeting notices, agendas, and minutes as required, and to serve as liaison between the AAC, the WMATA Board of Directors, and the General Manager, GM, CEO, Chief Executive Officer, and staff. WMATA shall provide a specific amount of space on its external website for the general public for use by the AAC and shall take all necessary steps within a reasonable time to post AAC-provided information on the website. The new sentence we suggested for insertion is, the content of the website should meet all Section 508 accessibility guidelines, in parentheses, WCAG, dot one dot AA. The sole review of the AAC content shall be to ensure that the posted information is in a form conducive to the use of on the website and not defamatory, false, misleading, or deceptive. Staff support to the AAC is limited to the resources available from WMATA. Any questions about that section? Hearing none, we got to move on to
Chair Sandford. Steve Caffin has his hand up.
Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, Paul, just a question. I have a couple of things from a prior section. Shall I hold those until we're finished where we are right now, or would you like to look at them immediately?
Since we're working on this section, let's go with this section. And if you can send those to me, I want to make sure they're incorporated into the final one. Does that work for you?
Oh, that's fine. Sure, they're pretty straightforward. Nothing controversial about them.
Okay,
I'll do that, Paul.
If you can send those to me and Patrick, that way we can get those edited and this document draft updated.
All right, or take a look. All right, thank you.
All right. Anyone else? If not, we're going on to the next section here. The next section is Article 6 is meetings. So Part A under meetings is regular meetings. All regular meetings of the AAC shall be held at least once a month, generally in the evening, with new language as the following, may be in person, hybrid, or virtual, as the new suggested language to add in, and conducted in accordance with Robert's Rules of Order as revised from time to time and these bylaws. The new sentence we're inserting here and suggesting is, the platform for virtual meetings must be accessible to people with disabilities supporting interpreting services, ASL in parentheses, captioning, and auto captioning. Then we go on to meeting agendas shall be posted on WMATA's website in the same manner as agendas posted for meetings of the Board of Directors. Meetings will be open to the public, held in a location accessible to people with disabilities. And then we added in new language, may be in person, hybrid, or virtual, and within the transit zone. The next new sentence we are proposing is, the format, in parentheses, in person, hybrid, or virtual, of the meeting shall be recommended by the AAC to the Office of the ADA Programs Policy and Planning. That's the new sentence. Materials will be made available in an accessible format upon request. All meetings shall be conducted in compliance with the American with Disabilities Act, in parentheses ADA, Title II requirements, and the U.S. Department of Justice guidelines on accessible meeting sites. When meetings or portions thereof are proposed to be held at pre-existing or historical stations or sites, program accessibility shall be provided upon request in compliance with the ADA and Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act of 1973, as amended, including moving the meeting to an accessible site and or provision of other reasonable accommodations. And we also included the following phrase, including phone or virtual platforms. Next paragraph here under this section. The AAC may cancel a regularly scheduled meeting at any prior meeting by a two-thirds affirmative vote of members present at the prior meeting where a quorum is present. The AAC chair, in consultation with the vice chairs, may reschedule or cancel a meeting due to an emergency situation as determined by the chair and vice chairs. Notice shall be provided to the public of the cancellation, or if rescheduled, a notice shall be provided to the public of the new meeting date. Next paragraph here under this section, at least 72 hours prior to a regular meeting, an agenda must be posted, which contains a brief general discussion of each item to be transacted or discussed at the meeting. Members of the public have the right and should be solicited by the AAC to attend. Adding in the words here, they may directly address the AAC to any item on the agenda that is with it, that is within its subject matter. Then we added the following statement onto the end of the sentence: during a prescribed public comment period. Second here. And number eight here, part B now, special meetings. Special meetings may be called by the AAC chair, inserting new language, which is the following, or by his or her designee in blue, when in the opinion of the chair, the business of the AAC requires it, or by the request of a majority of the AAC membership. Notice for special meetings will conform to the requirements of notice for regular meetings. No other business shall be considered as such meetings. C, quorum. And I have a note about formatting, but I will, you know, talk to staff about that. That paragraph in terms of C, quorum says the following. A majority of the appointed members of the AAC, in parentheses, 50% of the membership plus one, must be present in order to constitute a quorum necessary for the transaction of business of the AAC. A quorum is not required for meetings of the subcommittees. No decision of the AAC shall be valid unless a majority of members present and voting concur by their vote, unless a greater number is required as expressly stated elsewhere in these bylaws. Part D. Decisions and advice of the AAC. And again, I have in blues about the formatting. The AAC will coordinate with WMATA staff to obtain information and reports necessary for the AAC to advise the board of directors. WMATA staff will provide either information or action items to the AAC. Information items are reports intended to inform the AAC of accessibility-related matters at WMATA, and no action by the AAC is required or needed. Action items are reports made to the AAC where AAC advice is required on specific recommendations presented by WMATA staff. When presented an action item, the AAC is required to take a formal vote and either A, accept the recommendation, B, continue the item and require further information or discussion, or C, escalate the item to the attention of the board of directors through WMATA staff. All documents of the AAC require a formal vote provided a quorum is present. Any questions about this section here? about Article 6 meetings. The news, there anybody?
Chair Simon Ford, Pat Sheehan, and Vanessa Coles raised their hand in that order. So Pat, go ahead, please.
Thank you. Am I unmuted, Anu?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, great. My question is, Office of ADA Programs, is that the correct office, or was that renamed after the reorg? ADA Office of Policy and Planning.
It's ADA Policy and Office of ADA Policy and Planning, System-Wide Accessibility.
Okay, so I need to add in System-Wide Accessibility.
Thank you, Anu. Thank you, Paul.
System-Wide. You said a new System-Wide Accessibility, right?
Yes.
So I'm making that addition in now. Accessibility. All right. And I think that's the only place that has that.
Well, I think you need to remove a couple of words in that last one.
Oh, hold on, because we have a speaking order, and Vanessa was next.
Oh, I'm very sorry.
All right, so Vanessa.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to know if there is make mention of the holiday meeting being moved on Tuesdays. Is it made mention in the bylaws?
That's a good question. That might be another section, but it will take me so long. But let me make a note under this section. And if there is, I will get back to your email, but I'm going to put a note here at the bottom of this. Check to see if there is language about meeting, about AAC meetings. If the date falls on a holiday and the alternative provision of a new meeting date in current bylaws. If not, then such there needs to be either needs to be suggested language. All right, I've incorporated that note in at the bottom of this, so when this is looked at. Thank you for your suggestions, Vanessa.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Steve, I believe that was you next.
Very quick, just go back, please, to the department name change. Is the department?
So it's the Office of ADA Programs, Programs, Policy, and Planning, System-Wide Accessibility.
That entire phrase.
Anu, I'm sure she will attest to this.
So it is Office of ADA Policy and Planning.
Policy. Okay, I see. That word was stricken, programs. So yeah. I see it's stricken. So it's Policy and Planning, System-Wide Accessibility.
Yes, if you could just perhaps insert a comma after planning.
Ah, okay. Oh, I see.
Here we are. Okay.
And accessibility within, there we go. Thank you.
Perfect. All right. Anything else, Steve?
No, Paul, that was it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. We're going to move on to the next section here. So, Article 7 is Agenda, Minutes, and Rules of Order. So Section A is Agendas. Number one, the AAC Chair and Subcommittee Chairs, with support of WMATA staff, will prepare an agenda for regular meetings. Members approve the agenda by vote as part of the meeting proceedings. Members may contact the chair to have items put on the agenda. Also, each meeting agenda calls for members to put items on future agendas. Number two, we inserted new language at the beginning in blue because it said MC, so we wanted to specify that. So the new language is meet the meeting coordinator. Staff liaison shall be responsible for distributing the final agenda and preparing or compiling the associated agenda materials for each meeting. Agenda materials shall be normally transmitted to members at least 3 days prior to each main committee meeting. And I guess it needs to be spelled out. MC meeting, main committee.
This is Sandy. I can't raise my hand, but as I was reading through today, I realized MC was an old version back in an earlier iteration of the bylaws that got changed to AAC. So MC shows up in this current version about 6 or 7 times in this section, and it should always be changed to AAC.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Thank you for that. So I need to move this in blue to AAC. And I'll change this in blue to AAC.
And you need to strike out the MC in each case.
Be blue. I will have to figure out how to strike out. I just want to make sure all these MCs right now. I'm just putting parentheses the one which will be in blue for right now. AAC. Yeah, just make that blue. Let's make those adjustments. All right, so part B is minutes. As I go through this, okay, I think we all made the corrections. I guess we did not catch it in other places. So under B is minutes. Minutes of the AAC meeting shall be prepared by the suggested new language AAC staff liaison and distributed to members, the general manager, CEO, Chief Executive Officer, GM, CEO, and the Board of Directors, together with the agenda for the next meeting. Minutes at a minimum must include the date, time of meeting, members present, items discussed, and disposition of any items subject to committee vote. C, rules of order. All regular and special meetings of the, instead of new acronym, AAC, shall be conducted in accordance with these bylaws and with the most current edition of Robert's Rules of Order. In case of conflict, these bylaws shall take precedence over Robert's Rules of Order. The AAC, which is the new language in here, chair and subcommittee chairs are responsible for the orderly conduct of the meeting. Every member desiring to speak shall address the chair, and upon recognition by the chair, shall speak only to the question under debate. Any questions about this section for Article 7, Agenda, Minutes, and Rules of Order?
How do I raise my hand? There we are. Hi.
Go ahead, Steve.
Okay. Yeah, just for that, is that the way we do it? Don't we raise our hands and let's see, any AAC member desiring to speak shall make that request known, such as by, yeah, I wrote this out, such as by raising their hand or other means, and be recognized by the chair or his or her designee. And because the way it currently works, it's Anu who kind of oversees that process and not the chair.
Okay.
Thank you. You know, it's a, I mean, it's technical, but since we're revising it, I mean,
yeah, it does
stuff,
make sense.
You know, so.
All right, which section am I changing this under this?
I think it was E.
E? All right, A, D.
C, D. Is there an E? No. It was any AAC member desiring to speak.
Let's just read that. Oh, there we go. It's right under. Okay, so that, yeah, it was the second paragraph. So I see it's the last one. So
shall address the. Well, so, shall I would have said shall make that request known.
All right, so address the chair. So
instead of addressing the chair, shall make that request known, such as by raising their hand or by other means, comma.
What I'm gonna do here is I'm going to make this in blue and just make it a whole new sentence.
All right.
So starting you want to say, Steve, here, give me the verbatim. Every member desiring, and this should be, come on.
Shall every member desiring to speak
shall
make that request known.
Shall make that request known.
And I would say, comma, such as by raising their hand or by other means.
Such as by raising their hand.
Or by other means.
Or by other means.
Comma. And upon recognition.
And upon recognition.
By the chair or his or her designee.
By the chair, his or her designee.
That's our new. then shall, as you say, shall speak to the question under debate. Or question at hand.
Speak only to the question under debate.
Well, or at hand, yeah.
Or at hand.
Good. Okay. Thank you.
There we go.
Yeah, that's a little better. It's the way we do it.
And I'll just put in parentheses, new language. New proposed language. Okay, and then I need
here's to Samuel.
Yes.
Vanessa has raised her hand.
All right, let me do a quick save as, and then changing the shape of this draft to reflect today. And today is 15. All right, go ahead, Vanessa, as it pertains to this section on agenda, minutes, and rules of order.
Okay. Should we make mention that it's a virtual hand raise?
Okay. Let's see. By hands me or other means. Because I think Steve covered it when he said let me change this to member. Or desiring to speak shall make the request known, such as by raising their hand or by other means. Or did you want me to add that in specifically? Because this could be
a blind person. I'm just seeing somebody raise their hands, but we know that it's a virtual hand raise.
By other means. Okay, so I put example virtual hand raise.
Okay.
How about that? Virtual hand. I-E. Thank you, Vanessa.
Chair Semaford, Sandy had also raised her hand, but seems like she lowered it. So, Sandy, if you want. Oh,
go ahead, Sandy.
I'm sorry. I keep hitting the wrong buttons here.
No worries.
So you said it was to replace the paragraph. It's only to replace the second sentence because
it's a sentence. Oh,
yeah. You need to keep that first sentence about the chair and subcommittee chairs are responsible for orderly conduct.
This sentence. I was just making a note to self, but thank you because I always have you at my side to keep me in line. The organization with this. Beautiful. All right. Any other suggestions before we move on to Article 8 subcommittees?
We don't have any hands up.
All right. So Article 8 is subcommittees. The first paragraph reads, new suggested language, AAC, will maintain two subcommittees to assist with completion of its work. Those subcommittees are the Metro Access Subcommittee and the Bus Rail Subcommittee. These subcommittees will operate in the same fashion as the main, and then we inserted new language, AAC, meeting, according to the requirements of these bylaws and Robert's Rules of Order, as revised from time to time. Membership in these subcommittees shall be open to all members of the, with new inserted language, AAC, and the, with new this new added sentence, AAC, well, new added phrase, AAC, shall, and then the new language begins here of this statement, appoint the chairs of the Metro Access and Bus Rail Subcommittees. Chairs of the subcommittees shall appoint their own vice chairs. Notice for, and then we inserted the new word all, AAC, and then we inserted the following phrase, meetings including subcommittees, and special AAC meetings shall be provided to all AAC members and the public in accordance with the procedures for notice of regular meetings of the AAC. Any questions about Article 9 here as it pertains to Article 8, which talks about subcommittees?
Chairs and Semaphore, this is when we do not have any hands up.
All right. Next section is going to be Article 9, bylaw amendments. The bylaws may be proposed for amendment or repeal by a motion that is made, seconded, and passed by a two-thirds vote of the regular members of any regular AAC meeting. The two-thirds vote shall be based on the number of persons currently holding appointments to the AAC, whether present or at the meeting or not. Written and oral notice of the proposed amendment must be given at the prior regularly monthly meeting to all members. The notice must contain both the original language and the proposed amending language to the bylaws in accessible formats as requested. The proposed bylaws change will be made final upon approval by the Board of Directors. Any bylaws may be altered, amended, or annulled at any time by majority vote of the Board of Directors in consultation with WMATA staff. Is there any comments to that? Because I think this is etched in stone by the board and the board's attorney. All right, Inu, anyone?
No, sir, no hands up for this.
All right, next section is Article 10, Terms of AAC. The Board of Directors will periodically review the operation of the AAC and may modify its composition, structure, or bylaws. Such review shall occur no less frequently than every 5 years. The AAC may also initiate review of its composition, structure, or bylaws and recommended changes for the board's review. in accordance with the bylaws of the WMATA's board of directors. All right, Patrick or Anu, next steps with this, because I've gone through the document.
Okay, so after the AAC completes the review of the bylaws, we receive the updated draft, and that gets reviewed by our leadership, forwarded to the legal counsel, and then it would be shared with the board of directors for any updates or approval.
Okay.
Once it has been approved, the AAC would have the final draft. Sorry, Pat, you were trying to say something?
No, I was agreeing with you, Anu.
Okay. Steve has his hand up. Steve, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Thanks. You know, I had a couple of questions. I had a couple of questions concerning things we had previously covered, but I don't feel we clarified, at least in writing.
Okay.
And it has to do with the first one has to do with the emeritus position. And let me read what I wrote, which is very, very short, and perhaps that's the gist of it. And Paul, you can tell me if we cover it. Is it only AAC members who have completed their terms or given an acceptable reason shall be considered? It is expected that emeritus designations shall be rare, period, and should not be used to continue the service on the AAC of a member who has completed the maximum service and otherwise would require a hiatus before reapplying. In other words, you know, it certainly is an important position we need to maintain, but it shouldn't be an alternative to, you know, the regular process, if you know what I mean. And it hasn't been in the past, but I wonder whether we want that as in the bylaws.
So I am putting a C. We can definitely propose that. If you can shoot me that in an email, I can copy and paste that into this.
Sure, absolutely. And the other thing is, emeritus positions shall be voted on by the AAC without the potential designee present. The voting results should be used by the director of system access to make a determination. Okay. Yeah. Let me send some proposed wording and you can take a look, Paul.
Yep, because I'm just adding a note in here. Add additional stipulations from Steve.
And I think there was one more. I'm so sorry to monopolize, but there was one more item that's kind of important. I don't know whether we specifically covered it. And what I wrote was, after 12 years, the director of system services, in consultation with the chair of the AAC, may ask, in the event a replacement has not been selected and is not yet ready to serve, the departing AAC member to serve on a temporary basis until his or her selection is identified and seated. It is envisioned this temporary period should be in the realm of months and not an extension through the year, and thus be equivalent to a reappointment. Shall I send you that wording, or you can just take a look and see whether it's appropriate or not?
You can send me the wording, because like I said, this goes up to WMATA legal for review and approval before the boards. So we can definitely, I have no issues about suggesting that.
Yeah, you know, we need some kind of mechanism in writing, because we will often have that situation where, the new person hasn't been seated yet, or maybe hasn't been selected.
Right. So send me that, please. So I
all
can
right.
add
I it sure in. Will. Uh-huh. Thank you. Thanks, Paul.
Chair Semaphore, and this is Anu. Sandy has raised her hand. Sandy.
Yep.
Hi. So about the emeritus, I'm a little bit lost because scrolling so quickly, but an important point about the emeritus is to maintain historical knowledge to be shared during AAC meetings. And it is stipulated that an emeritus member of the AAC cannot vote. So they aren't impacting decisions going forward. So that historical knowledge, I think, is important for, and I want to be sure that that historical knowledge wording is kept in there. And okay. And then my second point is that to respond to what Steve just said, there is already wording in the bylaws that says that a chair or a vice chair stays in place. Well,
because there's that clause about failure to elect.
Yeah, Article 5, right. I think, Paul.
Yes.
Right. But right. I shouldn't say vice chairs, but chairs stay in position until somebody is elected.
Because there's language about failure to elect, and that would, you know, if there's failure to elect another person, then this person
continues. But I mean, Steve has a point that it doesn't say how long that person can continue. And it's basically implied that, you know, as soon as possible that, you know, and I think it even says, you know, at the next possible meeting to take care of that.
Yeah. No, Sandy, actually, your points are very well taken. Thank you. You know what I was, Paul, what I was trying to get at, what we, so the selection process can sometimes drag on when people are selected and then they don't show up or don't partake, and it can go on and on. Mm-hmm. But what we don't want is the selection process in effect to result in an extension of a person whose term is ended, but rather just filling in on a temporary basis. Because there's a lot of knowledge that's going to get lost when anyone leaves, and it certainly is more comfortable to have that person continue, but it's not really what the bylaws is trying to do, if you know what I mean.
Like, I will put myself out there. I'm one that is set to expire at some point soon. And I would be one in which, you know, if that case is, when my term is, you know, over the 12 years, I will be sitting down. That way we, of course, at the same time, we want to make sure new people are on and we pass that torch. I'm just putting it out there as an example.
Chair Samuelford, this is, and we have Ms. Rush with her hand up and then Debbie Fisher. So Ms. Rush, please go ahead.
This is Ms. Rush. I'm not sure, because I don't know clearly, the public comments that we receive, the public comment time, the 2 minutes, should that be in the bylaws? Or because it was changed to 3, but should it be in the bylaws is my question.
The question is, I don't think there's anywhere, because when we talk about bylaws, we talk about our committee business. So help me out anew. And that subject does not pertain to.
Let me ask this question.
Oh, go ahead, Pat. I'll let you.
No, try. I'm going along the same route that you are, Paul, but I'm asking it in a little different way. I knew, since we're following board procedures, is something like that written in the board procedures going forward? Because, Paul, we could utilize that same language.
So, if there's something that's part of, like, regular board meetings, the RAC, so that if that's the case. Right. You know, we follow that.
Yeah, and I don't know, Paul. Yeah, but whatever. And to put that, using that logic, you could change it to 2, from 2 to 3 or whatever. Yeah, I don't know if they stipulate it, though. I know that they at their meetings, they will say and announce what the time limit is for people. But I don't know if it's stipulated in the bylaws. So that would be something we could research.
Pat, that's a great point. I would be happy to verify that. And follow up.
Because really what it would come down to, I think, I knew, is even if we put it in and it's not in the
board,
the bylaws for the board, that they would change it anyway. So
sure.
We, in general, what we want to do is follow the same process the board is kind of, and the board actually, well, I think the RAC bylaws are based on the board bylaws too. So we're just trying to follow the same logic all the way through. So that would be a good addition, though. I know if you can find it. Yeah.
Sure. And then we have Debbie Fisher with her hand up. So Debbie, please, and then Sandy Nuzzo. Debbie, go ahead, please.
Sorry. Just a response to the point that was just made. I would suggest that things that are procedural that are likely or could change, you try not to put those into the bylaws and instead put them into a kind of policy and procedure manual, only because changing items in bylaws is so complicated and requires more of a vote than the kinds of procedural policy and procedure kinds of things that are usually easier to change through simple majorities. So where you can on procedural types of things, I would encourage that. That was not why I raised my hand. The reason I raised my hand was because I think it would be helpful somewhere to have a chart that tracks all the members of the AAC and where they will fall as of the end of their each term. So the immediate term and then each successive term, so that everybody has both something to reference at the time that the bylaws are ratified, and also so that it puts in place the pipeline needed to keep ensuring that they're going to be new members able to join on time. It's typically something that you see in other bylaws based on everybody's sort of grandfathered status at the time that the new bylaws are approved.
So is this a function which, I guess, I'm looking at a new that would be doing and suggesting?
Well, you would start with literally make a chart of today. You make a list of everybody who is currently on the committee, and then based, and Anu could do that because she knows when they started, and you take a look at based on when everybody started, when they would come off. One decision is, does the start date mean everybody starts fresh, or do you decide that in fact you consider the start date of the current term to be the starting place? So if I started 2 years ago, for example, I would be halfway through my first term. If you are in the first year of the current term, you would start there. And so in a sense, everybody who's currently a member is grandfathered in terms of their term limit, but we start from this point on.
So does that make sense? Yeah, Deb, the term, because we started reporting to the board of directors in 2015, that's when the clock started.
Okay, so then what you want to do is use that as a start date, and I'm sure staff knows or new knows.
Right. And they have that information. But we, of course, I've never seen anything like that in bylaws. But it's not with names attached.
You can do it either way. It's helpful to do it in some way just because it's a procedural way to introduce to the bylaws.
So as a procedural document, you know, and we can check to see what the RAC has and what the board has regarding that. But as far as the information being is concerned, the information WMATA staff does have that also.
Yeah, and I would just recommend that it in some way be referenced or included in such a way so that what it does is it holds everybody to it, and in that way ensures that we all start working on who will be successors, because you want a pipeline.
So what I added here in the section four, because where it sounds like it's going to be possibly under, is terms of office. I made a notation here, but am I right here?
So we would probably refer it back, Paul, to the same comment that we made before, since you know we're using the same process as the WMATA Board of Directors and also the RAC. So they already have this, and we've modeled our bylaws after theirs.
All right, but I put that suggestion about adding bylaws chart showing AAC members' terms in that particular section, because that's where it should pertain with.
I don't know that adding it to the bylaws is the right place to do it.
Oh, okay.
But I'm agreeing with what Deb says. I think it might be better to be part of the process, procedural document or something like that. But what I'm saying is that I'm sure this has already been figured out by the Board of Directors, and they have followed this process with the RAC. So whatever process they have, we don't need to reinvent the wheel. I don't know if I knew or whatever, we can look that up and we will follow that same process. The transparency piece is very important, yes. And it will also let people know, which I think is critical, that we need to start bringing new people onto this committee who can be effective and hard workers, do the work of the committee, because you're going to have a lot of people who've been here for a while leaving about the same time.
And that may be something you will need to address, because you don't want to, you want to have people cycle off in some approximation of equal numbers, or a condensed sort of,
And they have that. But I think that in what you're saying, it's going to demonstrate to people what positions are going to be open and who is cycling off. And so being able to get, perhaps 10 people who can fill these positions are going to be good, because you may have some people cycle off. So you can have a primary and an alternate. Let's say if somebody can't make it because life happens, the alternate's already been vetted, so they can come right on at the time, because you don't want to be dropping, a lot of people and not be able to fill those slots.
So Patrick, in the new, can I get a deadline date to everyone that a new could send out to communicate to everyone who's here and not, as to any other suggestions that they want to add to this by a date before this, draft goes before the board?
So to answer your question, Chair Samford, as we had discussed, that we do want to have the draft completed by the June AAC meeting. So if there are any updates to be added, I would say that from my perspective, that date still stands good.
Okay.
All right, good. That gives everybody a month and a half. That's pretty good, okay. And then once that document, correct me if I'm wrong here, Paul, but I think I'm correct. Once that document leaves our hands, it's really no longer our document. It belongs to General Counsel and the Board of Directors. What they make as decisions is what we're going to live by. But based on what we've seen with the RAC and their own documents, I think it's...
Sure, and Chair Samford, I apologize, Pat, I didn't mean to interrupt, sorry.
Go ahead, Anu.
Okay, so we do have Sandy Newser with her hand up, followed by Denise Rush and then Vanessa Coates.
Okay, so this is going back to, and this is my curiosity and clarification, going back to Article 6 meetings, 1, 2, 3, the fourth paragraph.
Sure.
It talks about, the paragraph starts with something about at least 72 hours in advance. Okay, so towards the end of that paragraph, it says something about, members of the public have the right and should be solicited by the AAC to attend and directly address the AAC on any item on the agenda that's within the subject matter before or during the consideration of the item. So are we supposed to be inviting public to speak to agenda items, or are they supposed to just speak in public comment period? I mean, this, the way the wording is now, it sounds like they're supposed to be.
They're supposed to address the way it is right now, Sandy, address during public comment period. So
That's
a good point, Paul. We have a discrepancy here in that language.
Yeah, and that's why we made the added provision during a prescribed public comment period.
Oh, that follows that? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Not being able to see the screen, Paul. Thank you.
Oh, sorry. So they may, so the new language added it. So let me reread it. At least 72 hours prior to a regular meeting, an agenda must be posted, which contains a brief general description of each item to be transacted or discussed at the meeting. First sentence. Members of the public have the right and should be solicited by the AAC to attend new language. They may to attend, period. So I need to put a period here. All right. Now your next sentence starts with new language. They may, and then we go back to what's here, directly address the AAC on any item on the agenda that is within its subject matter, comma, and then new language during a prescribed public comment period.
Okay, that's, I thought we had.
Yeah, so we added in they may, and then the old language is directly address the AAC on any item on the agenda that is within its subject matter, comma, and then we inserted the following new phrase, during a prescribed public comment period, period.
Okay, I think that answers that question, Sandy.
Yeah, well, you know, we have been a little wishy-washy when there's time and there's, you know, sometimes we have let people from the public speak to a specific thing during the meeting. So I'm just, you know, I'm just questioning this, but maybe the board will have
the board will review this and ultimately have the final say in this.
Right. The wonderful insight. Okay, I'll be quiet.
No worries.
Okay, next is Denise Rush. Ms. Rush, go ahead.
This is Ms. Rush. I do not think that the term information and the names should have anything to do with the bylaws. Yes, we should have that. That's important information, but a totally separate subject and document. It should not be included in the bylaws. It's very important to us because we're in it right now, but later on down the road, my name or Paul's name or John Doe's name should not be printed in the bylaws. That's just my cut on that sub. Thank you.
Thank you, Denise.
Okay, this is, I know next is Vanessa Coles, followed by Steve Caffin. So Vanessa, go ahead.
Yes. My question is there any language stating to the public or announcing that there's an opening? Because I was kind of recommended, and I don't know how, you know, like if a D.C. section, Maryland or Virginia is open, how does the public know that they can apply for these seats?
All right. Anu or Patrick can help me with that.
Is sure. I can clarify that. So Vanessa, any, and I believe you are referring to open positions on for the AAC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Anytime we have an opening, we do put that on our website. We do share that with the AAC members. We do reach out to various organizations to seek membership. And then we do hope and expect the AAC members to also do outreach and reach out to their affiliations and encourage people to submit applications for the AAC memberships. When we have openings, we don't have openings all for the entire AAC. It may be specific to the area, jurisdiction. For instance, we may have positions available or open for Northern Virginia, and we would request applications from residents of Northern Virginia who use the system. And we obviously, there's a criteria, there is an application process, there is an interview process. And then the appointment is done by Vermont Board.
And you will also.
So if there's more than one applicant, how is that determined?
So depending on, well, we do hope and we look forward to receiving multiple applications, because we do, we would like to have a diverse group from accessibility perspective, and make sure that everybody's voice is heard through the committee. And Pat,
and also, I was going to say, add to that, Anu, that you also want to, first of all, I think we state that you want the most qualified people on this committee. Secondly, you want to balance, be able to balance the jurisdictions, Virginia, D.C., and Maryland. Right now, I know we are trying to recruit some people from Virginia because we're lacking in that area. And then thirdly, you want to be able to recruit to fill the disability positions that might be open. You know, in the past, we have had situations where we needed people who were hearing impaired or deaf. You know, and so we took a while to try to recruit good people in those areas, because we need to have not only balance in the jurisdictions, but also a balance within the disability community. And that's tricky. So, and of course, that's based on who decides to apply.
Yes, and thank you for adding that. And I just want to emphasize that it is a commitment. In past, we have had peer members who joined. However, they were not able to fulfill the commitment, and thus they left, leaving the positions open. So commitment, dedication is quite important.
Okay, thank you.
All right, we're getting close to public comment period time, and I know people probably want to speak, so.
Steve has his hand up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, I'd like to strongly concur with what Ms. Rush said regarding we shouldn't be putting names and even schedules of rotation in this document. It's an important control file that we should have and we should know. And, you know, and the system-wide accessibility department should have. But I don't think it has a place in this. So I just want, but the other thing, Paul, could you go back quickly to the paragraph we were looking at regarding the public meetings, public comments?
All right. The one with the phrasing. Let me pull it up.
Let's see where.
Between you and Sandy, I love y'all. Okay. The one starting.
This is it.
Yeah, this is it. That's why I pointed to it.
Now, are we, for that second paragraph, members have the right tribute to directly on ADAC, are we talking about during the meeting, or is this public comments?
This is during the meeting, and it should be any comments they should have. They should prescribe it during a public comment period, which I hope to have start right around 5:30.
Okay, and we will. But why I asked is it's important, and this is correct. The reason why is we shouldn't be limiting during the public comment period to what's on the agenda. People somewhat inconvenience themselves and do what they need to do to come and make public comments during the public comment period, and it should not necessarily be on the agenda. It should be relating to Metro Access or bus rail or whatever. But you clarified that this doesn't relate to public comments period, but rather to inserting oneself during the meeting in comments.
Mm-hmm.
And that's correct, yeah, on the agenda. Thank you. Sorry about that. Thank you.
All right, and any other comments before we move to public comments so that we have time for everyone, both members of the public and any AAC member after members of the public speak to speak?
Sure. So, Chair Samuelford, at this point, we have no additional hands up.
All right. So go ahead and give your spiel before public comments.
Okay, thank you. I just want to remind members of the public, if you would like to submit your public comments before or after the meetings, you can send them through emails or call. Email is metroaacchair@wmata.com, or you can call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. Now that we're beginning the public comment section for the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting, I just want to remind members that to ensure everyone who is trying to make comments gets an opportunity to do so, we do allot 2 minutes per speaker. Please try to remain within your time allotted. As I said, this is only to ensure that anybody who's trying to make comments gets an opportunity. Thank you.
All right. So who do you have for members of the public that would like to speak on your list or who would like to speak that's on here now?
I see no hands up. So I just want to remind anyone who, if you would like to make comments, you can virtually raise your hands. If you're on phone, you can press *9 to raise your hands.
Been told by Mr. Blacker.
Hold on. I see hands are raising, so
I did before. I thought it's a term for me. I was the first one. Somebody took it away. Right. So means
Heidi. Give us 1 second before you begin. Go ahead, Anu.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. So I do see that some people are raising their hands, and we will take their names in the order. As Chair Samuelford stated, that we will take comments from members of the public before we turn to AAC members for their public comments. I will go ahead and read off the names in the order I see the hands up. First is Janice Samuel. Next is Deborah. And then we have somebody on phone. The last four numbers are 3386.
All right, remember, we had Heidi.
Yes. Last meeting, I was being told going to call me after meeting by Mr. Blacker, but I waited a whole month, nobody called me. And during waiting time, I tried to contact the complaint department, quality assurance department, customer relations department for manager call me. No one gave me a call either. So I don't know, how do I reach you guys? Leaders or whatever, because I just posted my home phone number to the Mr. Blacker, and I hope he got my phone number and also my name. You can easily find my information from your file. Actually, I don't know why I've been ignored, basically.
Mr. Blake is here to respond to you.
Yes, and there was a call. I'm looking for the email. The member, I mean, if Allison wants to chime in, but there were two calls, apparently. I can't find the email right now. But yes, we followed up, and if I'm not mistaken, we also put a credit on your account. But we'll call you again tomorrow, but there was a message left for Heidi. Allison, if you can recall, because it was a member of your team who you reported back to me called and did not get an answer. But if I recall, I also instructed the team to issue a credit to this particular customer. But do you have any other information right now?
I just want to make sure you do call me.
Hold on, Heidi.
Let her answer your question.
Remember, we have interpreters, so we have to go one at a time.
Thank you, Allison. I believe, yes, it was a member of my team. I would have to go back and look at the emails. I don't have those in front of me, but of course, we can make sure and wrap back around with Miss Heidi and just make sure that she has all the information she needs.
Yes, I'm waiting for your call tomorrow, and hopefully you got my phone number, and there are no way to miss your call, or you can leave a message in case I didn't get in time. The way, give me your contact information so I can directly contact you. No more questions, that's all.
But I see my email that I gave directions, Heidi Lee's, I put credits on your account, and they did do that, but they said
nobody. I didn't have
credits. Your account has been credited due to the inconvenience you.
But I need to say something also, because I didn't receive a phone call or message or email. I didn't receive any. I constantly checking and almost at 24/7 at home, and only doctor's appointment I go out, so it's easy to hold with.
So we'll have somebody call you again tomorrow.
Thank you.
But I did
that's
have
all.
Them apply credits to your account, and that's in your account, and you can see it right now.
I did the checking after last meeting. They said there are no that information. They only have one. There are multiple things in there. So I didn't know when you put it in there and how much you put it in there. But it's not only money thing, but other things. So I do need somebody. Give me
Allison, please don't delegate it to anybody. I need you to call her tomorrow, please.
I will do.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes.
That's good. Thank you very much. Oh, can I have Allison's contact information in case I didn't get her?
Yes.
Okay. What's that?
I can share that with you when I call you tomorrow.
Very good. Very good. I understand. So I can leave in now. Thank you.
Okay. You're very welcome.
All right. Next would be Janice Samuel. Janice, go ahead.
Thank you. I live outside of the 3/4 mile metro access service area. And in conversations with Mr. Blake, he's let me know that due to his benevolence, many of us who live outside the service area have been granted metro access services Monday through Friday. My request is that metro access take into consideration providing those of us who are outside that 3/4 mile service stipulation metro access services on Saturday and Sunday as well.
Thank you, Mr. Blake. Did you want to address that?
Well, no, Ms. Samuel's correct. She's advocating for herself and other customers. But to just for a little clarification, there's some folks whose service area is varied. The weekday service area is different than the weekend service area. So therefore, the expanded service area that you all have heard me talk a lot about, especially since the pandemic, the weekend expanded service area is a little different than the weekday expanded service area. But Ms. Samuel is advocating for herself. It's on the record. She knows I'm aware. But as I've shared with her, but I've shared with you all as well, and Mr. Semaphore started the meeting saying the board didn't make a decision, which was, that's why I don't have a whole lot of new news for you tonight. But depending on what happens with the funding for Metro, some of that expanded service area may go away. And that was on display at the board public hearings. But what Ms. Samuel is doing is advocating for, again, herself and other customers who would benefit if Metro Access went even further, both on the weekdays and the weekends. And I applaud her advocacy. I think it should go on. It's on the record, but I cannot commit to that, obviously, during this meeting.
Thank you. Next person, Anu.
Next would be Deborah.
Hi. Okay. Really quick. I'm noticing that when I have a cab thing, I mean, the biggest problem tends to be with Regency Barwood. They do not notify us, well, at least me, but I think it's us. They do not notify us when we have a ride with them. And I really need to be able to plan out what I'm doing and know ahead of time who's picking me up or if I'm dealing with an Uberlink or something. And I canceled the ride twice this weekend, two separate days in a row. And I was told it was done, and I did it with Metro Access, and I did it with a supervisor, and the cab still showed up. And I still get a call from Regency or Barwood, same deal. And they are still charging Metro Access $14 for that. There just seems to be a real problem with that kind of stuff. And then there's a problem getting the links for Uber. It's really inconsistent. That's very frustrating too. I mean, I've had frustrating days like where I'm sitting here crying because I really want to say that this really, really screws me up because I really have to plan my time because I'm doing legal work. And I think to assume that we do nothing just because we're using Metro Access is really unfair. And it's just so, I mean, basically what happens is after a day of dealing with that, I just won't go out because I'll be so upset that I'm running late or whatever that'll happen. And then when someone is picking up a parcel like cat food, like vans are not the place for that to be on the floor. And then the only other thing is when I ask somebody to transfer me to a supervisor, it really ticks me off when they don't transfer me and they're sitting there trying to solve my problem. I had a lady I had to hang up on because six times she kept saying over and over, "What's your number? What's your number?" And that's just rude because I've been doing this a long time. I know when I need to speak to a supervisor because dispatch cannot just send me a link. And most of the time, they don't even know what I'm talking about.
All right. Thank you. We do need to move on to other people.
I'm done.
Thank you. Who would like to respond? Mr. Blake, Ms. Anderson?
Well, we can check and see. I mean, I take mystery rides on all the services. They are sending out text messages. I know with Regency and Barwood, for example. They also make calls. If we're having problems with a particular phone number and a particular customer, we certainly can look into that and check on that situation. When it comes to taxis, we want them to notify all customers. Taxis are booked on the pickup time that you booked your Metro Access trip.
No, Mr. Blake, I really have to say that really, they do not tell us ahead of time. I have to call Metro Access to find that out.
Okay.
Barwood Regency does not text us. They don't do that. And I am not the only party to this frustration.
I got you. But what I always say, since I've been here at Metro for now 6 years, everyone's situation, Metro Access and paratransit service by nature, although most places don't carry it like this, I'm just a little more hands-on and involved. Metro Access and paratransit service by nature is a personal service. I appreciate advocacy on everyone's part. And when the customer says they don't contact us, well, that's a large leap, because I'm not hearing that from hundreds of customers we send to Barwood and Regency each day. That's why I like to deal with individual customers on an individual basis, and let's see what the issue is.
I appreciate that, sir, but I'm telling you that I know a lot of disabled people who take Metro Access.
Okay.
And typically they come to me and complain because I'm the one that resolves this stuff.
Okay. Basically, but you can always give them a number. It's easier for us to resolve things if the individual, like the gentleman who called me that night, it's easier for us to resolve things on the individual customer basis than through a third party. It's just much easier. I take dozens of calls from customers every day, and I've been doing it now for 5 years, and it's just a lot easier. And again, we send Barwood and Regency nearly 300 trips a day. This is the first time I've heard in several months that someone did not get a call. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but I'm saying oftentimes what happens is an individual situation that we need to fix on our end or their end. I've heard you, Ms. Dunaway. I've got it now. I'm going to go back and check with them specifically on your phone number, your trips, and find out what's going on. And if one of your trips happens to be selected, we haven't run the lottery yet tonight because I'm on this meeting, but if one of your trips is selected, I will see who is it selected to be with and verify their process, and particularly if it's Barwood or Regency.
All right. We do need to move on. We got other people that need to speak. Anu?
Okay, next would be somebody on phone. The last four numbers are 3386. Please unmute yourself and start making your comments.
All right, and then next person.
Okay, the next person seems like they're having some trouble or not there to hear me. The next person is Libra Robinson. If you would unmute yourself, there you go. When you start speaking, your time will begin.
Okay, thank you, and good afternoon, everyone. My question is basically from one of our chapter members, well, a few of our chapter members, who use the automated, well, who happens to get the automated system when they call to book a ride. They want to know what is the exact wording when that comes on, if you want to speak to a person. Because they're saying, I want to talk to a person or operate it, and they're saying, it doesn't work. It just still keeps trying to get my information. So I said, I'm going to come on this meeting and ask, what is the exact wording they need to use?
I heard the wording, but Allison, can you remind me, because I apologize for forgetting, but there is something that a customer is allowed to say that automatically tells Tim, stop. They want to speak to a live agent, no more inquiries. Can you remind me how that is, or remind the audience, actually, Ms. Robinson and others?
Absolutely. So if a customer should get the digital assistant and would like to speak with a live agent, they can say agent, but the digital assistant is going to ask one more time if they can assist the customer. The customer would then just say agent again, and then it's going to take them to a live agent. So basically,
so it's agent twice. That
agent twice.
Agent twice.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. You should not have to have Tim attempt to help you anymore.
Thank you so much, because I think they use everything but the word agent.
Yeah, but just be mindful that
I can imagine what they might say.
No. Just be mindful. If they ask for the agent the first time, Tim is going to just politely ask if they could assist, and then the person just says agent the second time, and then they'll be transferred to a live agent.
Yes, when I spread the word, I will say you have to say agent twice, because he's going to make sure that that's what you want the first time, and then you say it again. So I'm going to make sure that they know to say it twice. And I know my minutes are probably up. I just want to say I love the new text, where's my ride number? It is so convenient and accurate, and I appreciate you all bringing in another method of doing the same thing. It's very convenient. Thank you.
I want to say it's the chair. Praise the Lord. It may not be perfect, but it's another method in this whole scheme of things to reach to customers to communicate. Next person in there.
Okay, so next would be, now we will go to AAC members, beginning with Debbie Fisher, then Denise Rush, Sandy Newsel, Vanessa Coles, and then Rico. So Debbie, go ahead.
I shouldn't be raised. My hand isn't.
Her hand isn't raised.
Debbie, you had sent me a message that you wanted to send. Okay, so that's fine. We'll go to Denise Rush. Ms. Rush?
This is Ms. Rush. I have a clarification question. We have on the books about 35,000, 36,000 approved Metro Access card users. The number, I was told that the number is never repeated. So if someone passed, is that counting that person that moved out of town, that passed, that no longer, you know, uses that number? Is that count real? I want to know the real count of the Metro Access users, because when you say that 9,000 members may be affected, we're just saying may until the decision is made. That means 25%. But if there are only really 20,000 people that are real people, whether they're living here, using it or not, or they're gone, that means half almost. So I need to get a clear count of the numbers. And also, are the temporary numbers included in that count? Like now Randy Clark, the GM, he's a member because he hurt his leg, but is that number going to be included in an approved person?
Yes. Okay. It's a great question, Ms. Rush. I'm surprised over the years this has never come up again. But no, numbers are not repeated. So like the numbers of the Metro Access customers right now are not from 1 to 36,000. Like right now, and you mentioned Mr. Clark, for new customers who recently join in, their ID numbers are in the 205,000 numbers. So over time, people have been members or been eligible, not members, it's not a club. They've been eligible in either from whatever reason, they're no longer eligible, but that number doesn't come back into the pot. That number stays with them forever. So
I know it stays, but I'm saying when you say approved Metro Access users or numbers, I know that number stays with them wherever they're here.
Now that means active. That's what I'm saying. If we're talking about people whose now numbers are up to 207,000, then obviously we're not counting everybody who's been a Metro Access eligible in the past, because then the number would be over 200,000, not just 36,000.
Okay, so 36,000 is a solid number.
36 and some change, obviously. I could get you the exact number on any given day, but yes, there are 36,000 people who today, if they wanted to book a trip on Metro Access, they're eligible to do so.
And you're saying possibly, well, whatever the number. So 9,000, when you say 9,000 people may be affected with the right area, is a solid 25%.
It was a big number, but remember now, that was the doomsday budget. That was the one where everything was going to be cut. When we went to the board, when you went to the board public hearing, by then, in the maps we showed, that number had been reduced to a little more than 3,600 customers. And depending on what happens, that number could stay there or that number could be zero. It could be nobody's impacted because they may fully fund Metro and allow Metro service area and hours to remain unchanged for a year. But we're no longer at the 9,000 for sure. We're now in the 3,600 range. That's what was at the board public hearings. So we're talking,
all right.
We're talking okay. Almost 10 or a little more than 10% of the riders could be impacted based on the budget, depending on, again, the final decisions and the final money that is brought to the system.
And the NSB chapter of Sligo Creek would like to thank you again for your time on Saturday with the question and answer period. And it was greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Well, I enjoyed it. Thank you for the invite. You all came at me hard and but with strong advocacy and respectful, and I really appreciate it. And I do have some follow-up I'm working on. And again, there were some great ideas. And I love those kind of meetings. So anyone listening out there, you have an organization, Ms. Robinson, if you have a group, even Ms. Dunaway, invite me out. I'll come out there. I'll even catch an Uber out there just to, or catch a Regency. So, but just invite me out. I love to come out and speak with the community. We could do it virtually or we could do it in person. But that was a great opportunity. And again, we just want to continue to be able to speak with our customers and the stakeholders within the community.
All right. Anew, next person is we're at 9 minutes left.
Okay. Next is Sandy.
And then, hi, this is,
go ahead.
Okay, this is Sandy Newsell. I'll make it quick. Like Christian Blake spoke to NFB out in Sligo Creek, I want to give a, put it on the record that Bridget Doherty from Metro spoke to the low vision support group I lead out in Reston. And we love, you know, how much she explains about Metro access and her travel training that she can do for Metro riders. And I do have, Denise Rush covered the point that I was going to bring up. Thank you, Denise, about how many Metro Access riders are there. But I have one question. At the end of every Metro Access meeting, you know, Anu is saying people didn't have chance to comment in the public comment period. They can write to her. Where does that go? Does that come back to us AAC members to hear what people said, or does it just go to Metro board or Metro staff? Okay,
so,
that's it.
So what happens, Sandy, and then the others can chime in from staff, is with those comments should come back to us because we get one of those monthly reports of comments that went on in the resolution. It's a resolution report from AAC and Metro Access meetings that are Metro Access related. And one of Ms. Anderson's staff members report back to us is the results of that to the committee. So that is what should be happening every month. And that should be included as part of it. Ms. Anderson can hopefully help clarify anything else on top of that question.
Here, Samuel Ford, if I may, before Ms. Anderson.
Oh, that's right. You. Oh, I'm sorry.
No worries. Anytime we receive any emails, we do reference them during the meeting stating that the person wrote an email. And we, if it's a lengthy email, we may just give a brief. If it's a shorter email, we may be able to read that verbatim. But then it's referred for any to any department appropriate for them to be able to follow up and take review it and do what's needed to be done.
Well, just to follow up, in the meeting minutes, people who actively
yes.
on, it's there, but emails later, do those get incorporated into the meeting
yes.
minutes?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Any public Thank comments during that we receive through phone calls or emails and during the meetings, they're all referenced, yes.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying.
If you don't see it, that means we haven't received anything.
Okay.
All right. I think we covered it, Ms. Anderson. Okay. New next.
So next person is Vanessa Coles, followed by Rico, and then Marcy.
Okay, thank you. So my question has been approached to me by consumers concerning TIM. It
seems to be even experiencing a system overload because people are saying that even that's being dropped. Their calls are being dropped.
Thank you.
And yes. And then also, it doesn't have, and maybe you can explain to the public, it's just for new trips. Because if you want to call into a modified trip, then it's going to take you through as if you're doing a new trip. So trying to get around the system to just modify something is not useful. So I also wanted to maybe make a suggestion or recommendation that the public be taught or guided more towards learning how to do the website, perhaps maybe a tutorial and explaining to them how, because people tend to avoid that because they don't know how to use it or they don't want to use it. But with all these new incoming calls, maybe something like that would help to assist them with making their own trips. Thank you.
I think this is Mr. Anderson to respond to.
I think those are, well, one, the second one is definitely a great idea. We can probably add that to the travel training as we're doing more travel training that's not necessarily related to fixed route services. So I think we have to come up with an idea, a creative way to make that happen. Yeah, I don't even want to speculate at the moment, but I think that's a great idea. In terms of Tim and the drop calls, I just want to differentiate because I know some people love Tim, some haven't gotten used to it yet, and we're working on that. And you heard loud and clear, say agent twice, and you speak to a live human agent. So just spread that message loud and clear. But a drop call is not necessarily related to Tim. Tim is part of the regular phone system, and we've had some experience recently with problems with that. We fixed it. Then a SIM would come back again. There's some issues there. Now, I definitely have heard from customers about that, about our phone lines, not so much others necessarily, but I've definitely heard about it. We're working on it. When there's any significant problem going on, as the chairman and many of you know, we'll leave the lines open a little longer, or we'll just say same day booking for the next day and put that on the message. But we're really working on that. But if you get a drop call, it's not likely to be as a result of Tim. It's just a systemic problem we've had that we've been fixing. But ever since we moved to the new building, it's just seemed to be periodically there's this phone issue. But we're assuring you that if any of your consumers that you're working with, Ms. Coles, anyone Ms. Dunaway is working with, anyone's working with, well, one, we encourage you to call earlier. So let's not wait to 4:30. Tell them that too. Now tell them to call earlier. Say agent twice to speak to a live agent. But also they can text, send a text message to our new Where's My Ride number. Let them know that you're having problems trying to reserve a trip. And what we've been doing when folks call me and tell me that they're having problems getting through the line, I have somebody from reservations call them. And so there are ways around this, and we are asking for patience on this. But please, Ms. Coles, ask them to call earlier, say agent twice, but if there are drop calls, please use the text feature or even call afterwards and express that there were problems trying to book your trip before 4:30, and we'll make the accommodations necessary.
Thank you for answering
the modification. They should just keep calling agent to get an agent to modify a trip.
Yes. Well, yes. That's at the end of the day, that's what's going to have to happen. We need somebody to book their trip for them. And we don't want them to wait to 4:30, though. That's the key. But if they have to wait to 4:30, there's a problem with the phones, send a text message. We'll have somebody contact you and book the trips out of courtesy, but let's not make that a habit. Let's get in the habit of calling at 2:00.
All right, it is 5:59 p.m. What do you want to do anew with this? We got hands still up.
We have Rico and Marcy Goldstein. Did you want to go ahead and take their questions, or did you?
Because it's 5:59, I believe the interpreters go at 6:00.
Yes. If Rico and Marcy, if you do not mind, would you please send your comments through email to me and we will be happy to incorporate those in meeting minutes and follow up with responses.
Yes, I will do that today because it's during my measure trip from last week.
Okay, if you can email it, that'll be great. And you'll give your spiel before our interpreters go bye-bye at now 6 o'clock. Go ahead.
Okay, so anybody looking to send comments, please email at metroaacchair@wmata.com or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. Thank you.
All right, and I get a motion for adjournment.
I'm on.
All right, all those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
Bye.
All right, meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Next meeting is